This morning we do have a special treat, even though our pastor is away today. We have a brother who started attending this church about, 9 months ago, and has just been just a neat person, neat family to watch. And to, you know, there's those who come into the church like a whirlwind, you know what I mean? Almost like a tornado. Here I am, world, here, you know. And then there's those who come in just with a humble servant heart. This is Miguel Nunez. I count him as a friend. I know him. His daughter plays volleyball for me at Johnson University. He is an amazing, godly man. His bio is on there so you could read, get to know him a little bit more, him and his wife, Myra and Angela. We are really blessed to have them here this morning. So he's going to come and bring the word this morning. So, brother, preach it loud, preach it proud.
Good morning, Heart Cry family. Many blessings to all. For those who haven't met yet, my name is Miguel Nunez. My loving wife, Myra, and my beautiful daughter, Angela. Also, with me is my spiritual son and his wife, Javier. I would like to start by praising God for this great nation. Hallelujah. And for this Christ-like church. I would like to thank Pastor Leonard for the privilege given to me in bringing God's word. Also, I would like to thank Pastor Bill for being a blessing to my family. He's the youth pastor and coach of Angela. Pastor, great job for developing the youth. I would also like to thank Mr. Rudy and Mrs. Beth for accepting us in the prayer group for with our English difficulties. We are praying for each other. We're having good time. And you know what? God is answering prayer. God is good. God is faithful. Last but not least, I want to thank our life group mentor, Billy and Jeannie. Thanks for opening your home and teaching us the scripture. Good teaching and fellowship. Jeannie makes good apple cream-filled cookies. Don't go just for the cookie. They're good, but they're good preaching. I encourage you guys to sign up for the life groups and also come to pray. Now I would like to show a video that will explain a little more about us and what we've been doing for the past 1 year.
We pray for blessing. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? Trials of this life are all your mercies in disguise. We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
What can I say? I'm a blessed man, loving family and living the kingdom dream, serving people. Let's go to Luke 7, 11 through 17. Luke 7, 11 through 17. My main intention with this message is for us to perform a self-evaluation on what we are doing with what God loves the most. People. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That means, that is, Jesus loved Michael. Jesus loved Patrice. Jesus loved Vanessa. Jesus loved Evelyn. Jesus loved Freddie. And also loved the person you dislike the most. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also, my intention for us is to reflect on what we are doing with one of the most important resources given to men, time. You cannot buy more or borrow more. So time is limited resource that expire every day. Checkups provide us with a useful opportunity to seriously consider the level of performance and contribution on a specific task. Growth is the goal of the Christian. Maturity is mandatory. If a child ceases to develop, the parent will be concerned, right? Doctors will be called. Tests will be run. When a child stops growing, something is wrong. When a Christian stops growing, help is needed. If you are the same Christian you were a few months ago, be careful. You might be wise to get checkup, not only on your body, but on your heart. Not a physical, but a spiritual. I hope you allow God to search your heart today. Luke 7:11-17. Now it happens the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I said to you, arise. So he was dead, sat up, and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This great story helps us to understand at least two important teachings for our life: the condition of the woman and what the Almighty wants to do with us today throughout his Holy Spirit. Do not focus on your present. Focus on who the Bible says that want to help you today. Title of this message is Jesus Christ, the Resurrection. Jesus defeated death. First off, the scripture tells us of a woman who is a widow, which means she can no longer count on her husband for support. And on this occasion, she was on her way to bury her only son. We can conclude that the emotional state of that woman was not at its best. The woman at that time was in a difficult situation. She could be afraid, feeling angry, guilty. She could have been anxious, sad, in pain, lonely, and desperate. We can also assume that her physical reaction to her emotional state could include sleeping problems, changes in appetite, physical problems, depression, or illness. Today, many people may be experiencing similar feelings, but not necessarily because they lost a loved one. Many people are living a spiritual widowhood due to a spouse that left the home or that is not taking responsibility of the family, or a spiritual death due to a child that is battling with drugs, alcohol, sexually deviant behavior, or even bad friendships. There's also people who have given up on their dreams. Here are people that at one point in their life dreamed to be doctors, teachers, lawyers, engineers. They dream of having their own business. There are people here who have a calling from God to be pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Bible teachers. I am in the midst of intelligent, talented, and extraordinary individuals who could reach any goal, but they have not believed God. They have not believed that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I want you to take a minute and think about that big dream that you once had. Could be a healthy marriage. Could be going to professional studies, a ministry, a calling from God that one day you wanted to accomplish, but today you have it inside a coffin, dead. Today God wants to resurrect that dream inside of you. I imagine a few of you thinking, brother, you do not know what I've been through. I have tried everything and nothing has worked for me. I am older, without strength. My wife or my husband do not love me. My child or my spouse will continue in their addiction. I have a great idea for a business, but I don't have any money to start. Or brother, I do not express myself well. And if I listen to each of one of the reasons, I will find that there is always be a good reason to give up and a good reason to keep going. But you, only you, decide which reason you will choose. Going back to the woman, we see that she already experienced the great pain of losing her husband. And now with the death of their only son, was totally helpless and without support. It is a very difficult situation for a human being to be in. But the good news is that there is one person in the scripture that says that came to this woman. Jesus Christ. Amen. That good news came to my life at the age 18 when I was broken. And thanks, Lord, I accepted him as my Savior. And now I can say, the only thing he has done for me is blessing me as a person, blessing me as my family member. He just has blessed me all through. Jesus Christ, throughout the Holy Spirit, met you today. Jesus Christ not only raised the son of Nain's widow, but also the daughter of Jairus and Lazarus. And today, wants to resurrect the dream that you are carrying inside your coffin. Today, God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can go and give your testimony of what he has done in your life. Today, God wants to insert life on dry bones so that you can go and share the good news of salvation with people. He wants us to live our life to the fullest, only for him and through him. Let's go back to the scripture 11, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. After what? After healing the centurion's servants. Luke 7, 1 through 10. The disciple who were with him had already seen him perform miracles, but never resurrect anyone. The multitude that followed Jesus followed him because they had seen him heal the sick, free the captive, fill the hungry, water the thirst, lift up the fallen, and forgive sinners. In short, the disciple followed Jesus Christ because when Jesus Christ come into someone's life, he never leave you the same way he find you. God always will supply your need. He will never leave you with empty hands. We notice in verse 11 and 12 that there's two group of people with totally different attitudes. The first group we observe is a great multitude with Jesus, including the disciples who were going to enter the door of the city. All of them talk and enjoy being with Jesus Christ, the Master. In contrast, we see another great multitude leaving the city, but they are weeping without great sadness. What a contrast between the two crowds, one overflowing with life and hope, and the other one with death and sadness. Whereas the Lord is present, there's hope. And where he's absent, there's despair and death. Do not continue living in despair and spiritual death. God not only wants to forgive your sins, but wants to give you eternal life. All funerals are sad, but it is hard to imagine a sadder funeral than the one described here. One of a young man, an only son. And if it were not enough, the mother is a widow. When Jesus saw the woman crying and in despair, he moved to mercy. What does this mean? He felt very deep feeling that comes from deep inside. In other words, his heart began to break. It was not just a cold idea, but he felt the great pain that this widow was experiencing from the loss of her son. Here we see how our Lord understands the woman. He knows that she is going through. Likewise, he knows every single of one of your circumstances. Know you by name. Know your problems. Know your pains. Know your loneliness and your sorrows. He knows even when without. He knows even without you telling him. He is God. He sympathizes with you and shows his mercy to sinners like us. Jesus, without being called, without crying out to him, without seeking him, approached the mother and said, "Do not weep." Verse 13, he wants to comfort her and alleviate her great pain and sorrow. He wanted to show her and tell her, "Look at me. I can take away the cause of your tears." Our Lord does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. His compassion for those who suffer is still as great. Do not forget this and seek comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never fail us. He will never disappoint us. He is always interested in our concern, whatever they may be. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. What better to rest in the arms of our Savior? There's nothing that this woman had done to deserve the resurrection of her son. She did not seek anything, nor did she ask for anything. Nor was there any merit in the dead young man who was brought back to life. It was Jesus who approached them. It was he who took initiative. It was he who wanted to do that miracle out of his pure mercy, love, and will. Likewise with us, we do not seek him. If we had any interest in seeking him, it is because he put that interest in us, Romans 9:16. So that is not who will, nor of him who runs, but of God that shows mercy. No one deserves anything, neither by words nor by effort. Everything depends on the compassion and will of God. Even when we're dead in sins, he gave us life together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Ephesians 2:5. Jesus performed his miracle in a varied way, but it's very significant that when he resurrected the dead, he used his word, he called them to life. To the daughter of Jairo, he said, "Talitha kumi," which translates to, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." To Lazarus, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And to this young man, he said to him, "Young man, I say to you, rise up." In all three cases, he used the power of his word. There is a great power in the word of God. By his word, he made the universe and all that there is. The same centurion of the previous passage asked Jesus to say the word, and his servant will heal. Luke 7:7. The scriptures show us that the word of God had great power. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierced to the division of the soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. In the same way, the word of God speaks to us with power The young man was dead, but the word of Jesus resurrected. He came to life. Jesus addressed him personally and even touched the coffin, which made a Jew unclean by touching something related to a dead man. But not so with Jesus. In the same way, he also speaks to us in a personal way and can bring us to a spiritual life, even if we were dead in our sin. There's a huge difference between a living and a dead person. The consequence of the power of Jesus is that the young man came to life. He passed from death to life. This is what Jesus does with us on a spiritual level. He gives us the life we do not deserve. We pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and eternal life. He has power over death itself because he overcame it on the cross and resurrected himself. Verse 15, and he presented him to his mother. He restored him to his mother, and tears of sadness will turn into tears of joy. This had powerful effect in the crowd. They all were afraid and glorified God. They recognized the hand of God working throughout Jesus as a great prophet. In conclusion, today you can also turn your tears of sadness into tears of joy. Head bowed and eye closed. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, today is the best day to come to Jesus the way you are. Today is the best day. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow, we don't know if it's going to be present. Today is the day. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, we would like to pray for you. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me ask you, how is your love for Jesus? How obedient are you to His Word, to His Holy Spirit? And are you living in a Christ-like manner? Are you on fire for the Lord? Or living a dead Christianity? What is your level of performance and contribution to the kingdom of God? Are you afraid in demonstrating your faith? Is there anything you are afraid to do? How is your marriage? Need help? Need repair? Today is the best day. It's the perfect day to ask God to help you do it. Believe He will, and then step out and act. Jesus, your precious shepherd, leads you even when you are unaware. The more you trust Him, the more you will enjoy the peace that passes understanding and defies your circumstances. Lord, I have done my job. Thank you for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, continue touching hearts. And we ask for your healing. We ask you that you insert life where there are dead bones. Insert life where there's no hope. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, are those ones that are living a spiritual death, they arise by you. I ask you, Lord, that you put a fire of the Holy Spirit in us, that we can, that everything that we do please you, and that our heart is glorifying you with everything we do. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for this great nation. I ask you that you rise up from here, from Florida, all the way across the United States. That a revival comes to this nation, Lord. That your name are exalted above all names. Thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.